poet John Donne is the one who is credited with giving us the lines, "No man is an island unto himself." And we know that, don't we? In our own lives, we have so many different relationships in all sorts of different situations and at all sorts of different levels. Because it's not just the relationship within family or home, but within the church, within the workplace, with the circle of friends. And increasingly, we are becoming aware of the relationships and that sense of interdependency that there is right across the globe, perhaps even with people whom we have never physically met. But we realize that we are dependent upon them and their behavior and their provision in all sorts of different ways. In these days, as we're thinking about prayer and catching the wave, I want us to think about the first theme that is given to us in this little booklet. And again, let me commend it to you, catching the wave. It will remind us right at the outset of the relationship that we have, not only with one another here in Ballywillan, but right across the presbytery. But it will also remind us in these first days of relationships and those vital relationships that there are in prayer. Should we be surprised? Not at all. Lord, teach us to pray, was the request of the disciples. They could see that John had taught his disciples, his followers, to pray. And here were the disciples of Jesus wanting to enter into a deeper relationship with him and with the Father whom he heard them speak of. And so they say to him, teach us to pray so that we can grow in this relationship. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father. Of course, we know that in Matthew's gospel and in some of the old manuscripts, and now by our practice handed down through the ages, we start off, Our Father who art in heaven. We're reminded that relationship encourages us to pray. We're coming to our Heavenly Father. Now, sometimes, yes, we think prayer is difficult, and there are a whole host of reasons for that. There are our own fears. We're not sure what to say to start with. We're not sure how to continue. We're not sure if we'll run out of words, or if we'll start to stray into something that may seem too trivial or something that is too complicated and complex. Jesus uses a relationship to encourage us to pray. Is there any parent who is not delighted in hearing the first word of a child, the first word of a child or a grandchild? And it may have been initially difficult to make out, but we have persuaded ourselves that this is indeed what that child was saying. And isn't there the unspoken competition? Will it be Dada or Mama first? And it doesn't really matter. Just to hear that word, that first word from a child. Jesus, if you like, parallels that. When you pray, say, Father. That's where it begins. As simply as that. And so as we enter into this particular season of prayer, let me encourage you to understand that it's not complicated. It is not that there is any high level required of us, but rather simply this, that we come on the basis of a relationship. A relationship with, yes, the one who is the creator of everything, but the one who loves and sustains all that he has made, that it might be for his glory. Jesus uses relationship to encourage us to pray. But Jesus also uses relationship to encourage us to be bold when we pray. Jesus moves on from giving, a structure, an outline of how we should pray, then to encouragement as to when we should pray. Now, there are times, aren't there, when as we grow in relationship in our family, we learn when to speak and when to be silent. Whenever I was growing up, well, it was the unspoken rule that you didn't talk when the news was on. That was important. There were other times when you could speak, but not when the news was on. And you didn't speak, and you made sure the news wasn't on whenever the telephone rang. Those were the things that took priority. But there were other times, well, when you knew you were free to speak. Now, it wasn't that my father was overly strict, but just there was that sense of when it was appropriate. Of course, there were times whenever that understood rule could be broken. Whenever there was some crisis or some emergency, and even when he was asleep, well, if there was something that was troubling, it was all right to go and shake him at the side of the bed. Jesus uses a parable to help us to understand how we can be bold, persistent in the matter of prayer. Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread." Now just to pause and try and capture that scene in your mind. It's midnight. It's not the best of times. It's the time whenever, well, most people would expect peace and quiet. But that's the context in which Jesus wants to encourage us to be bold. Now, the initial response is, "Don't disturb me. The doors are already locked. Children are in bed with me. I don't want to be disturbed to give you anything." But we're not to be put off. This is an emergency. Though he will not get up and give the bread because he's a friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And even in that final phrase, there is that indication that this is not a grudging response, but a generous and gracious response. And Jesus is using this parable to teach his disciples and us, since this word is preserved for us. "I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." You see, the boldness that Jesus is speaking about here is based on relationship. And if a friend will do this, then why not our Heavenly Father? When are we to pray? We're to pray whenever we sense that need of prayer. And friends, that is a constant need. It's a constant need just as much as the exercise of breathing is constant. If we're only to breathe just now and again, then we are putting ourselves in tremendous peril. But we know that if we continue to breathe, then that oxygen comes in, flows around our whole system, and brings to us wholeness and health. So too with prayer. We're constantly in need of prayer for ourselves, not just for strengthening, but for protection, for wisdom, for guidance, and not just for ourselves, but for others and for experiences and situations that come our way. If I were to have one criticism of the little booklet, I would say, don't be misled by the idea of catching the wave. I know that surfing is a growing activity and sport around our particular area. And I know the importance of being there at the right time to catch the wave. And so this is a time whenever we want to catch the wave, the enthusiasm to enter into a season of prayer. But individually, personally, we must be constantly giving ourselves to prayer, because we are constantly in need of it. So this catching the wave is saying, here is a remarkable opportunity. Let that refresh our enthusiasm and our commitment to prayer, not just in this season, but indeed in all the days that God will give to us. Why? Because we're praying on the basis of a relationship with Him. We're praying boldly on the basis of that relationship with Him. And the third thing I want you to see here is that Jesus uses relationship to assure us of an answer to our prayers. Now, that has already been seen in that parable that He told. But then He tells a second parable. He says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Here is this relationship again, which is at the root of the assurance that our prayers are heard and answered. We know what it is to give good gifts, and especially within the family, and particularly to our children. We want the best for them. We will sacrifice so much so that we're able to give those gifts. And sometimes, yes, it stretches us almost to the extreme. God is our Heavenly Father. It's on that basis that we pray. It's on that basis that we're bold to present our prayers to Him, especially in times of need or crisis. But it's that relationship that assures us that He knows how to meet our needs in that perfect and gracious way. Though we are frail, or as in this translation has it, though we're evil, it doesn't mean to say that we're particularly bad, but we're flawed. Flawed because of sin in our lives. And yet we try to do our best. God, who is perfect, far surpasses that and assures us of his love in many different ways, giving the good gifts. Not always what we want, but all that we need and all that is good for us. And so it is on that basis that Jesus is encouraging his disciples to pray boldly, and to pray expectantly. Relationship is at the heart of all of this. And as you turn to catching the wave, you'll discover that the first four sections are about relationship, our relationship with God, and how that encourages us to pray, but how we pray for other relationships as a result of that. And in your bulletin today, you'll find that there are some pointers to prayer that will remind you of those relationships and some of the particular needs that there are at this time. Let me encourage you to use them. In the same way in which I was trying to encourage the girls and boys, it's hard to remember everything, but we need to focus. And catching the wave and the notes in the bulletin, they will capture your attention to pray for some people and some situations in particular. Please pray for families under stress where relationships are difficult. That people who have to make decisions about the coronavirus situation will be given wisdom. That as part of the family of God, we will support and encourage each other. Pray for people who care for loved ones who are becoming frail or confused. Now, to that, we can add other individuals, other situations that are particular to us where we sense that relationship. Just imagine the difference that that will make. Lord, teach us to pray. Well, here's the response. Prayer is about relationship, our relationship with God. He is our Father, and we are emboldened to come to him in prayer and assured that he will hear and answer our prayer. And as a reflection of that, then, we remember our other relationships and our responsibilities, and we make them the subject, the matter of our prayer. Friends, these are indeed critical days, but days of opportunity. And I want to encourage you to catch the wave. We are rightly concerned about the coronavirus and how easily and quickly it is spreading right across the globe. Let me turn that round as an illustration of what might be positive. Think about the impact of one prayer and the influence that it could have as it spreads from person to person, in our families, in our congregation, throughout our presbytery, and who knows where it spreads after that. Let me say to you in this way. As you hear about the coronavirus, yes, pray for those who are affected. Pray for those who are seeking to contain it. And pray for those who are seeking some way in which to address it and to prevent its further spread and to bring some remedy. And as you pray for those things, then also pray that your prayer would have an impact that is equal and surpassing this virus that brings death to some. That your prayer would bring life to many. That it would spread in its power and its impact. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray knowing that God is our Father, that He encourages us to be bold, encourages us with the assurance of His answer, and He gives to us opportunity in the relationships that we have and that we want to see transformed by His grace and His power. May it be so. Let's pray. Our gracious God and loving Father, we thank you for the opportunity, for the joy and the ministry of prayer. Father, teach us to pray, encourage us to pray, and assure us that your ears are ever open to our prayers. In these days, help us to seize this initiative and to know your encouragement and leading through it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.